Okay. Well, folks, it's Friday night. I know I'm starting a little bit early because, again, the only other person I know of will be showing up would be RW. But the last I seen in Facebook, she's, dealing with some sickness and some other health issues or something like that. And I hadn't heard from her since. So, you know, I hope that she's doing okay. So, you know, let the prayers be up for her. You know I've been praying for her because, like I said, she's been dealing with a lot of difficulties and trying her best to do Bible studies and dealing with real-life issues and family issues. I did see she posted her mother and daughter on Facebook. So, but then again, you know, I just don't know, you know, if she's battling things or not. But, you know, a few other people like Texas Rose, she's having a difficult time. She's facing what we call a moving process. She has to move, you know, and that's stressful to her. And I think she lost one of her cats, you know, I don't remember where the cat passed away or something. But she and many other people I know are just dealing with hard times right now, folks. And the thing I'm thinking of, we just need to pray for each other. Amen. So I'm glad that you're here tonight. This message may be a little bit more lengthier than I normally do because, again, this is something I've been pondering on for like, since New Year's Eve. You know, we were sitting by a little campfire that we got like a little fire pit on our porch. And me and my wife from time to time, we like to sit there, you know, and play a little music. Sometimes we just like to sit there and quiet and just sitting around the fire and thinking. And I was thinking of this message and, you know, thinking of a lot of other things, you know, about things that you and I encounter in life, things that we deal with, you know, questions that we ask, you know, and so forth and so forth. And that's why I was pondering, you know, about questions that we always tend to ask God sometimes during difficult times, questions we ask God whenever we're facing something in our life. Sometimes whenever we're just going through struggles, we always constantly asking questions. And this is why I thought about this message. This is why I kind of put a little bit into it. I was trying to shorten it up, and the more I kept trying to shorten it up, the more it just seemed like it didn't flow right, so I left it alone after much editing today. So I want us to think about this. There are times of uncertainty in our lives when we search for answers, but at times we feel that God doesn't hear our prayers or doesn't answer. It is easy to come up. It is easy to come to such conclusions when God doesn't respond when or how we want. Above all, when He answers with silence. And I thought about that, you know, folks, because again, you know, whenever we pray to God about something, we might be dealing with some difficulty. We might be dealing with some pain. We might be dealing with some hurt or some sickness or whatever. And when we pray to seek answers from God and look in scriptures or meditation or with other friends, but most of the times during those times we get silence. And whenever you kind of feel like you're hearing that silence, you start drawing conclusions. I have done that myself. I don't know about you. I'm not putting you on a pedestal or whatever, but I have. I've done that myself. And during these times, you know, I was thinking, what are we to do when God doesn't give us all the answers to all our questions? Now, like I said, I was thinking about this. And when I was kind of doing some research on the internet, here's what much of our society does when they are faced with problems. Many of them, whenever they're facing some sort of difficulty or problems, they Google it. They get on Google and type in whatever their problems is and see if they can find answers that way. Some search blogs and pins, or some look for the latest and greatest self-help books. And if that doesn't work for them, they will worry and fret and then maybe find something to distract themselves, like going shopping, eating, or sometimes many of them just get submerged in watching many hours of Netflix. You see, that's what happens when they are faced with many difficulties. That's what they do to distract themselves. But a lot of times, us, I think sometimes we kind of do that too whenever we seek God, but all we get is silence, and yet we start worrying about, well, God, do you hear my prayers? Are you even listening to me at all? So that's why I say, you know, we start drawing conclusions in our mind, and we start letting our mind run away from us. So tonight, we're going to be reading one set of passages, which I was kind of seeking answers to this message here tonight. If you got your Bibles, we're turning to Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. And when you get there, you know, you can type in an amen, or I'm fixing to read it to you. If I say an amen, at least I know some of you there. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. And this passage right here reads this. And this is what I had to really look at it, and I had to look at it hard. And it says that the secret things belong to the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight and we ask of you just to be with us this short little time. And Father, I don't know, like I said, where this message is really going to go tonight, but many of us here that's listening to this message, and while I was typing this message, I was thinking about a lot of things myself. And whenever we pray to you, we always wonder sometimes in the back of our minds, do you hear our prayers? And will you respond to those prayers? And, you know, I just can't help to say this, Lord, but, you know, a lot of times when I do pray about many things, you know, I seem like I deal with the struggles when I hear a lot of silence, and I sometimes let my mind get the best of me. So, Father, I ask of you right now to be with the kind folks here tonight. Strengthen them, encourage them, lift them up. I know we're coming into a new year, and we're not certain what the year 2019 is going to hold for us. But Father, I ask you right now to hear the prayers of these folks here tonight and let them know that you are listening, that you will provide an answer. But I know we got to understand the answer does come on your time and not ours, so we have to understand this. So Father, I ask of you just to touch the folks' hearts here tonight. Love them and show them that you care for them. And Father, we want to praise you and glorify you. We want to give you all the honor and all the glory, because it's not about ourselves, it's about you. So thank you again for allowing us to gather here tonight. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. Now folks, like I said earlier, you know, we sometimes ask the question, does God hear our prayer? But then sometimes when we don't get answers, like I said, we start drawing conclusions. Our mind sometimes does get the best of us. It sometimes runs away. So this is why I titled this message tonight, folks, What Do You Do When God Doesn't Answer? Now, I know you kind of think about it, like, what kind of title is that? Well, I had to think about this because, again, like I said, on New Year's Eve, when I was sitting by the little campfire on our porch, I was thinking about a lot of prayers that I send up to God. You know, we lay our petitions down at His feet. And I pray a lot. I pray for each one of you here tonight. I pray for many people in the church. I pray for a lot of things for myself. I pray whenever I'm dealing with difficulties and pains and hardships. And a lot of times, I'm not going to lie to you, a lot of times it's met with silence. And when I wait and wait and pray and pray and wait and pray and wait and pray and wait and pray and I see no answers, I find no answers, you know what? My mind does start to get the best of me. It does. But you know what? When I started writing this, I had to think about this. Okay, God, what do I do when you don't answer? So I'm asking you tonight, folks, when you hear this message, you think about what do you do when God doesn't answer? Now, I was looking for the answers for this. And Scripture shows us a different response. It shows us that we can bring these and all our questions to God. We can bring our questions to God. See, the psalmist had hard questions about life. He did, just like we do. He, too, wanted to know why difficult things were happening to him and how long he would have to endure them. So as you start reading the Psalms and I start seeing this, you know what? See, he was not afraid to ask questions to God. Why are difficult things happening to me? So there's nothing wrong with you asking God the same question. See, he brought those questions right to God in a prayer, a lament. And listen to this, folks. This is what he was saying in Psalms chapter 13, verses 1 through 2. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts day after day, have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Now also notice in Psalms chapter 10 verse 1, he says this too. Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? You see, the Psalm shows us that asking questions is a normal response to the painful circumstances of life. You get that, folks? Psalms is showing us asking questions is normal for us in response to painful times in our lives. What it says also that we need to bring those questions to God. Now, listen to this very carefully. We need to bring those questions to God, but not in a defiant, shaking our fists in the air kind of way like the Israelites did back in the desert wanderings. No, we're not to do that. But we, as one, must bring these questions to God and trust that God hears and trust that he cares. You understand this? We don't get upset. We don't get mad. We don't get angry. We don't start raising our fist up or whatever. We are to trust God whenever we bring these questions to him. Trust him. And I know sometimes that's hard. It is. See, whenever we're dealing with so many things in our lives, we have a hard time just trying to sit back and relax a little bit and say, okay, God, I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to trust that you got this covered. Folks, we ask these questions because we know that God is the source of all our answers. And when we have questions, we need to come to our Heavenly Father with everything that is on our heart. And I say this because, folks, me personally, I fully believe God wants to hear from you. Even though God may know your thoughts, God may know what you're already going to say, but God, to me, friends, says this. He still wants you to talk to him. He still wants you to go to him with your problems. He still wants to hear from you. He wants that one-on-one relationship with you. Now, while questions such as why, how, and what, are our questions our hearts naturally cry out and are questions we are to ask. There is one question, folks, that I thought about this a few nights back. There is one question we don't want to fail to ask. This question is one that God himself loves to answer. And the question is, who? Who? Now, I don't want to sound like a hoot owl, but who? W-H-O. That is one question God loves to answer. This question asks, basically, I'm breaking down what this question says. Who will save me? Who will give me mercy? Who will rescue me? Who loves me unconditionally? Who knows my every thought? Who cares for my every need? Who sustains me? The psalmist didn't ask why or how long and leave it at that. Nope, he didn't do that. He stayed in the journey and moved forward, focusing his heart on who God is, what he has done, and what he has promised for his people. And as he dwelled on those truths, the psalmist found the answer to one of the questions we always need to ask. And listen to this very carefully. Psalms 13, 5 through 6 says, and this is the question that we need to ask. And this, to me, friends, is the answer. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord praises, for he has been good to me. Psalms chapter 10, verse 14 also says, but you, God, see the trouble of the afflicted. You consider their grief and take it in hand. The victims commit themselves to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. So as the psalmist concluded in all this, he concluded this: God is the answer. God is the answer. He is the one who loves, one who saves, and one who helps. And on this side of the redemptive history, Jesus is the answer to our questions of who. He is the answer to the deepest longings of our heart. He is the source of all our hope, our peace, our love, our strength, our salvation, and our life. Folks, he is our everything, and without him, you and I, my friends, are nothing. God doesn't promise to answer all of our questions. Folks, nope, he doesn't. Now, some out there may preach, yeah, God does promise to answer all of your questions. Now, you better go back and just listen to what I just said, because this message is being recorded. But you better go back and read in Psalms, and you better read the whole scriptures of the Bible. A lot of times when you do a lot of reading and you're really seeking the truth, you'll find out he didn't give answers to many of his questions asked by his people. Example, like Job. We may never know why some things happen to us, folks. We may never know. We may endure many things in our lifetime, but we may never get the answer to why this happened to us. Now, I assume to think maybe when we get to heaven, we'll probably understand. But while we are here on earth, there will be times that God will not answer. And we'll never know why, like I said, things have happened to us. But yet, when we are facing enduring times, difficult walks, testing of our faith, you and I know I did, we have asked those questions ourselves. And some of these questions are, what is the point of life? What is the point of it? Why does life have to be so unfair? Why is someone else prospering when I'm suffering? Why someone else has more money than me? Why did I have to get sick? Why was I born this way? Why did he or she have to die? Why do I have to go through all this pain? How can I face the future? Why does God basically allow such terrible things to happen? Hey, we all ask these questions whenever we're facing something in our lives. But with all of those questions, we need to understand Christ has given us what we desperately need the most. Answers. That's right. Christ gave you answers. And yes, Even the wisest man that ever lived when he studied the Bible, Solomon, he had questions about life and God. Notice in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 3, he asked this. What does a man gain for all his efforts that he labors at under the sun? Basically, in other words, friends, he was saying this. What's the purpose of life? David even questioned him in Psalms chapter 10, verse 1, when he said this. Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble? And yet I found out even a person named D. Elizabeth Elliot, speaking on this matter, said, and I like this. She said, now, is it a sin to ask God why? Let me repeat that. She was posing these questions in her book. Is it a sin to ask God why? And folks, my answer to this would be, I don't think it is. I don't think it is. Because if you just listen to what I just said, the people in the Bible, they ask questions. They ask questions. That's why I don't think it is. You know why? Here's the best answer that I found why I don't think it is. First of all, it's always best to go first for our answers to Jesus himself. Now remember that. Don't go running to someone else. Don't go running to Netflix. Don't go running to Walmart. Don't go running to Baskin Robbins and stuff your face with all sorts of ice cream and cakes or whatever. Don't run to self-help books and whatever. Don't run to Dear Abby or whoever. I mean, folks, whenever you are facing something and you're seeking answers, go to Jesus first. I guarantee you, if you trust him and go to him and just lay your petitions down at his feet, it'll be taken care of. But don't be surprised sometimes when you don't hear answers. But the reason why I say, folks, I don't think it's a sin to ask God why. Remember what Jesus did when he cried out on the cross? You remember what he said? My God, why have you forsaken me? Folks, it was a human cry. A cry of desperation springing from his heart's agony at the prospect of being put into the hands of the wicked men and actually becoming sin for you and me. Now understand me, we can never suffer anything like that. None of us can. None of us can. We can't even comprehend that suffering that he did. But yet we do at times feel forsaken, don't we? Do we at times sometimes feel forsaken? I'm not going to lie to you. I do. I do whenever I'm facing difficulties. Even though I stand here and preach to you and teach and read and study, and I know all these answers in the Bible, but yet sometimes, folks, I do feel forsaken. And it is quite natural for us to cry, why, Lord? Why? So two things I would like to cover tonight, and they are. The first thing is, let me get some water. I feel my throat drying up. The first thing I like to cover tonight is asking why or what is not wrong. Is asking why or what is not wrong. Think about that one. Well, here's what I found. And the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 5. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and without criticizing, and it will be given to him. It didn't say maybe, let me get back with you later, or nothing like that. It said it will be given to you. Or in other words, the correct way is it will be given to him. Also take a look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, when it says this, and this is Jesus himself speaking now. He said, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. Now, understand this. There are times when it does seem like as though God has not even heard us or has refused to even answer our questions. There are times when God just doesn't give us the answer. Why? Why would you say that? Well, here's why I'm going to tell you this. If you understood what we just read in our reading, as we read in the passage in Deuteronomy chapter 29, 29a says this, and pay attention to it because that's what God's word says, not me. But the answer, as I just said, when God doesn't give us an answer, the word is right there and it's plain as day. It says, the secret things belong to the Lord, our God. So basically, to me, what it's saying, God doesn't give us all the answers to all our questions. See, the Hebrew word for secret things might be translated clothed things or hidden things, things which are, before which a covering is, so that we cannot see them, or touch them, or handle them, or weigh them. That's what the Hebrew words for secret things might be translated as. And friends, remember, God is infinite in wisdom and power. He is infinite, and we are not. Therefore, he doesn't give us answers to all the whys of his ways. And some things just belong to the Lord. We have nothing to do with them. That's it. Understand that. Some things just belong to God, and we have nothing to do with it. And to add to this truth, the Bible clearly says here in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9, I got that hanging on my wall right here, which says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So therefore, he doesn't give us answers to all the whys of his ways. Even if he did, to be honest with you, we couldn't comprehend them. That's how small our brain is. See, Isaiah also speaks of God's infinite greatness and wisdom in chapter 40, verse 26 through 28, which reads this. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out the hosts by number. He calls them by name, by greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. That's heavy duty. But see, folks, again, that tells me God's not required to give us answers. Now think about this. I don't know how many of you are into reading. I know I am. And I have ran across this a few times. And I'm not sure that you have too. But often when reading a book, you come across a blank page. And when we find it, we're looking at that blank page and we come to one or two conclusions. One is, well, that was a printing error. Or two, the author meant to leave the page blank. Because seeing a blank page where you otherwise expect to see information really can lead to confusion. And publishers often print the words this page intentionally left blank. Yes, it is important to understand that Christians don't have all the answers, but it's just as important to clarify that our incomplete knowledge is not an error on God's part. Folks, God is perfect. He knows exactly what information we do and don't have. When we are faced with uncertain or missing answers, when we can be confident that those pages at these times were intentionally left blank. Even when the future is dark for us and we can't see what's next, we cannot know all. We can't. Our minds, as I just said, are too small. But we must leave all our whys in His hands. And the second thing for tonight is, God, my friends, has given us what we need to know. As I just said, Deuteronomy 29:29 showed us that the secret things belong to the Lord, our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us that we may do all the words of this law. And again, the Hebrew word for things that are revealed, literally translated, means things that are made visible, things that can be seen, things that can be touched and felt, appreciated by the senses and comprehend. Just as the secret belongs to the Lord, other things, the things He has revealed to you and I, belongs to us and to our definite duty and relation to is to see that these are realized in all their meaning and purpose. What I'm just trying to say, folks, things that reveal to us answers from the Bible or even answers to our prayers belong just to us. Things that we don't get answers to belongs just to God. You see, also, if you read throughout Deuteronomy, I know we all have, we find out that Moses is preparing the children of Israel to go into the promised land. And when they do, they are to live for God and not adopt the custom of the people they will encounter. In Deuteronomy 29, Moses also makes it clear that all they have is all they need to do in order to live for God. See, Deuteronomy 29, I've seen many things here and I read a lot of commentaries. Moses also told them that while they had no idea what the future held, the sovereign God of the universe knows. And that sovereign God revealed what they needed to know. They had His words, and God told them exactly what they needed to know. And like Israel, God may not answer the whys of the past, the present, or the future, but we have God's word, and it tells us how we are to live. 2 Peter 1:19 says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arises in your hearts." And 2 Timothy 3:15-17 says, "From childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Told you we had a lot to cover. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. Folks, I want you to know something very important. We have a Bible full of promises, commands, provisions, principles, and instructions which you and I can apply to our lives. And yet, God doesn't give us answers to all the whys of His ways. He don't. He has revealed However, how you can know him personally by placing your faith in Jesus Christ and trusting him as your Savior and Lord. Also, we have the inspired, infallible Word of God to tell us how we ought to live. Your responsibility, my responsibility, is to simply follow His instructions. While there are many things about tomorrow and the future that you and I do not know and cannot understand, we can't. But one thing we do know is we can know Him who holds the future. So what do you do? Like I said, the title was, so what do you do when God doesn't answer? Simple. Very simple. Trust Him and obey Him during these times when it seems like that God doesn't answer, and tell us the what, the why, or the how. Just do what He has already told us to do. Just do what He has already told you to do. The children of Israel were told by God what they needed to know. Now, they simply needed to follow His instructions to trust and obey. And like the children of Israel, we too need to trust and obey. But Jesus Christ Himself said it best in Luke chapter 11, verse 28, which He said this: blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And I found another article, Bill Bright, in writing on knowing what God's will for your life. He wrote this: have you ever wondered what God's will is for your life? I'm sure all of us has pondered on that question. I do a lot. But he said, have you ever wondered what God's will is for your life? Have you ever needed to make a difficult decision and wonder what God wanted you to do in that situation? We all struggle with these questions about our future. We all have. We struggle with that. What should I do, Lord? What should I do? And you may have asked questions like, how can I know God's plans for my life? Which job should I take? Is this the person God wants me to marry? Is this a good investment to make? Should I share the gospel with my boss or even people that I encounter? We all ask those questions. And in my 15 years of being born again, folks, my greatest discovery that I ever made concerning how to know the will of God involves three things. This is my discovery. This, maybe you got something different, but personally, in everything that I have went through, everything that I had endured, I discovered three things following God. One is fully surrendering my life to the Lordship of Christ. Second, living a life of obedience in the power of the Holy Spirit. And third and foremost, maintaining my first love for our God. Folks, this helps me, but I think this helps us in times when we don't see the way that He has planned. When the future is looking dim, and when you can't feel the touch of His hands or even trust His love. If you do those three things, I think that would help you. And many folks also quoted this passage, and y'all have probably heard this, like the cows have come home, but Romans 8:28 through 29, which says, and we know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And I was trying to think of something just to tie this up, to bring this to a close. I really was. And the only thing that I came across when, you know, I'm glad I do have the internet, but I do have a lot of books here too. I was trying to figure out, what do I need to fully understand what I'm saying right now? And I found this poem here by Corey Ten Boom. I know some of you may have heard her, but it's called The Divine Weaver. And it says this, that my life is but a weaving between my Lord and me. I cannot choose the colors he works steadily. Oftentimes he weaveth sorrow, and I, in foolish pride, forget that he seeth the upper and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and his shutters cease to fly, shall God unroll the canvas and explain the reason why. The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. He knows, he loves, he cares. Nothing to this truth can dim. He gives the very best to those who leave the choice to him. Other words, friends, other words, we serve a God who wants us to cry out to him with all the questions on our heart. And sometimes, friends, he answers those questions. He does. And sometimes he does not. But the one question he always answers is, who? And when we, you and I, know the answer to who, we found the answer to the most important questions we can ever ask. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you again for allowing me to present this message to these kind folks here tonight. They decided to come here. They could have been doing things elsewhere. They could have been watching TV or went out to eat or sat in the yard. And, you know, they could have never just not came at all. But again, I want to thank you again for letting me understand that through this research that there are times whenever I feel like I don't hear the answer from you, I can still trust you that knowing that you got it covered. It may be difficult at times whenever we do need that answer and we don't hear it, and all we get is silence. But I think sometimes during those silent periods, Lord, as I was reading this and studying this and writing this and thinking about this and talking to these kind of folks tonight, I think I'm getting a better understanding of what it means to sit at times in silence and wait and trust and obey. I know sometimes it's difficult to do that. But whenever I look at you and whatever open up my heart to trust you and allow myself to rest in you, and I'm just going to have to accept many times there may not ever be an answer. So, Father, thank you again for allowing me to be here tonight and presenting this message to these kind folks. I thank you with everything from the bottom of my heart. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.